Job numbers came up strong.
Yes.
I don't think the numbers are real still because ADP and JOLTS are not syncing up again.
Right.
There'd be a massive revision coming, especially when decided Trump's bitching, he's going to fire someone else.
Well, everything is delayed because of the shutdown earlier.
And whether or not people actually respond to the surveys is the problem.
Yeah, that too. Okay. Check 1 2 1 2. Okay, your lights are gonna stay on, right? Keep moving around
I
there.
gotta keep, yeah, I keep waiting
Okay.
in the other as well.
All right. Okay. 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10. Okay. All set.
Yep.
There we go. And 3 2 1. State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy is joining us once again for our weekly Tacky Talk on a Wednesday. Tacky, what's up with that?
Hey, it's always about scheduling, Joe, and the challenges of making our busy lives sync because I'm very aware of your very active social schedule.
Oh yes, I need an agent just to keep up. You're in your office.
We are having a formal session today. We expect this to be not a complicated formal session as we discuss artificial intelligence campaigns and false advertising.
Yeah, I read that story and I was surprised to see the small $1,000 fine for violations. What's the purpose of that?
It's outdated. I mean,
Okay.
some of those are the fines. I mean, people don't realize a lot of our laws regarding campaigns and things like that, those mechanisms were set 30 odd years ago before I got into office, more than 30 years ago. And we generally are very, not because we don't like reform, it's that once you start to open the door of reform, everybody's got an idea what it is and everyone's now mad at you.
I see.
That's
Okay.
part of it. But today the challenge is, of course, is AI, just like we had with super PACs, where we required a more disclosure to the public about who is funding these super PACs and independent expenditure PACs and their advertising, which is why you can see the top five donors, and there's increased reporting requirements as you close in an election day for PACs. And I'm sorry, well, PACs and independent expenditure PACs. If you look on Office Campaign Finance website, you can see more information than ever because we are the ones who pass those laws for greater disclosure for Office of Campaign Political Finance to collect from these independent groups. And suspect as we move down the road in the future, we will probably even increase more disclosures as these folks have good lawyers. They're going to find a way around it, and eventually we're going to have to play catch up. But in the near
Yeah.
term, you couldn't you, if we talked about artificial intelligence of you and me being on a commercial saying crazy stuff, we'll be like, what is this about? And
Right.
now it's here, and something we couldn't have conceived 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's true. Everybody, I mean, I know public schools are dealing with it as well. It's infiltrating all of our lives in ways we don't even realize, I'm sure.
Well, it's also so easy to fool people if it's somewhat sort of realistic. I mean, this is not memes. A lot of older versions of fake videos and whatnot. There was more distortions. You can tell the pixelation problems. Forensic experts could tell you there was a problem here, even if you couldn't through naked eye. Even today's AI, it is also imperfect, but it's getting more complex. And as a result, forensic folks that look at this stuff, actually put much more work into the nuances associated with AI. So I've said this before many times that your cell phone can create images of both of us and throw it into it and just say whatever. And to
Right.
be honest with you, those listening to us right now or watching us on YouTube or QATV will probably be none the wiser and think I'm a complete lunatic more than we really are.
No, but
So
it's true. It's true. I mean, we just saw it with one of the gubernatorial candidates. I think it came out, didn't
yeah, I don't want to give anybody credit for doing this, but there was some AIs put out regarding Maury Healey's State of the Commonwealth address, which
Yes.
is not accurate, or it's complete fiction, actually. But that's how easy to do. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think you guys know I like Star Talk, put out a video about with him in it showing an AI fake of him spouting actually false science. Yeah, but the image so good that he felt he had to show him with that fake AI information to
Just to
put up
show how accurate it can be, right? Yeah.
correct with him together with it so he can give the public awareness that he should be cautious.
Yeah.
So, the days of like tabloids are gone, the days of CB radios saying whatever people have got. Shortwave was the first talk radio.
Right.
Your very first bloggers were on shortwave. And then obviously you had blogs into the 80s, where you get a message board. And then, we move into late 90s, early 2000s, we have graphical internet. And now, of course, we have audio video ability, where you literally can, take any buddy that you can get any image of and just
Yep.
make whatever you want up.
Oh, some of those Super Bowl commercials were totally AI generated.
Yeah, and news reports are now putting on the byline at the bottom, indicating whether AI was part of research.
Yes. And you know what? As a journalist, right now I can tell, Tacky, how if I read something that's written by AI, it's very evident to me because it's not written in the traditional, I was trained in the Associated Press style of writing, and AI is not.
Unfortunately, I don't have that expertise. I do not pretend to.
But it's gonna, I'm sure it's gonna improve.
Oh, I agree, but again, this is the difference between professionals in the field versus me, right? I'm think I'm like everybody else. I read an article, I'm not sure what I'm reading, I'll read it twice and then make a judgment call. Professionals know what they're looking at,
Right.
need to tell the public what we're actually looking at.
Correct. Yes. As long as we can discern it, right? Absolutely. But it's going to get there for sure.
Absolutely. And campaigns is where you're going to see it the most, where, it's entirely possible you might actually see me as an AI someplace saying just absolutely nasty things about people or
Right.
inaccurately state a position or a vote I've taken. And the odds are good that you're going to believe it because, unless you start looking for pixelation issues, unless you're looking for articulation issues, unless you're looking to see, how I announce my I's and H's when I do my speech pattern, because my accent doesn't always come full bloom consistently, which may fool an AI because my accent pattern isn't consistent.
Right.
But in certain words, I emphasize more of my accent, local accent than others. So, we're putting some guardrails in today. We're putting some little new penalties regarding false representation. We'll see it. We'll see how it works out. It's actually a
Yeah.
bipartisan issue. Brad Jones, the minority leader of the House, the Republican leader, is his bill is coming to the floor.
Okay.
So, unlike some folks that believe that we're like DC, we're really not that much. We do like to have all ideas come onto the table, and try to work out things that make sense for everybody.
Yeah, are there First Amendment concerns with this?
That is a legit question because
Yeah.
this is untested territory. I suspect
Right.
these issues are going to go to the courts. Now, I'm not sure
Yeah.
who will bring it to the courts, whether it be civil rights organizations who believe unfettered First Amendment right, free speech should not have any restrictions, which, by the way, Justice Brandeis did set guidelines. I went to Brandeis University, hence I have to know this. But there are guidelines of the First Amendment set by the US Supreme Court. So it doesn't just say whatever you want. There are consequences. And then, or do does the technology field decide to want to get in on this issue on First Amendment rights as well?
Right.
But they do have some legal shielding for the Telecom Act of 1994 and revised, I believe, in 96, regarding the fact that they do have some shielding mechanisms on liability, which may deter them from actually want to engage in a lawsuit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, legitimate organizations, newspapers, broadcast, they're not going to argue it. They embrace it probably.
Most likely, yes, because it affects their integrity issues.
Right.
This isn't like the Pentagon Papers, where
Correct, yeah.
information was collected and the courts protected the First Amendment rights because they were collected in a manner that was not devious or illegal. So, the journalism world does that. However, journalism lines being blurred a lot. We talk about this every so often that you are a professional journalist. There are people who went to school or were essentially apprenticed in the trade for long periods working in certain ethical standards. Nowadays, people will claim journalistic standards on the internet. And I won't name the individual because I want to give it a credit, but I love the social media where they do a full disclosure at the beginning that they're not entirely accurate. We don't know, it may not be true. This is what I've heard. This is the information you should try to get from mainstream news and so forth and so forth. They think to protect themselves from libel. They're not. You actually admit to the fact that you're incorrect, which then reinforces their libel lawsuit. So those of you listening that may be doing this stuff out there, they're under some impression that if you say it's not true and then you say it out loud, that somehow protects you from potential lawsuits of
Yes.
libel.
Yes.
That
Yes, or
is,
slander if it's spoken.
yeah, but if you say it's fake right off the bat,
You owe me a bit of guilt.
you're
Yeah.
admitted guilt. Yeah,
Right.
this is what we're dealing with on the internet, that people are armchair lawyers, thinking that they can do this on their own. And as long as they can say that I'm saying something that may not be true or is not true, and then say it anyway. Well, I mean, as the audience, shouldn't you turn it off as soon as they say it's not true?
Well, yes, of course, yes, but some people don't.
Yeah, that is the irony of what I say, lack of common sense.
Right.
I mean, someone tells you they're lying on the internet. Well,
And
why you continue to read it?
then they go on and lie, and then you take it as the gospel truth. Yeah, I don't understand that either. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't have common sense. It's one of those things that is quite amazing about folks that look at this stuff and doesn't seems to ignore the disclaimer of the fact it may not be totally truthful. Actually, just flat out said that there's no way to collaborate the information provided because they think
Yeah.
they protect themselves legally.
I don't understand either, but I'll be interesting to see the conversation around this bill.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't expect this to be a crazy debate, to be frank with you. I think there'll be some good talking points from various memberships on both sides of the party. I don't think it's going to be a wicked long day regarding debate. So, this is a good bill to get done as we begin nomination paper collection process now, and school vacation is next week. I am aware that the House is trying to put together some large agenda items after school vacation week, before the budget debate starts in April. So
Okay.
stay tuned. I'm not exactly sure what the sequence is and which ones are
Okay.
going to line up, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt floating around the building now, especially now we've been around more often here, regarding potential issues that may be coming.
Oh, okay. I don't know. There'll be more for us to talk to on Tacky Talk.
Yeah, once we get some more clarity. That's a problem scuttlebutt in the hallways, is that some stuff may get dropped off
Interesting.
for whatever reasons, and stuff that we may not have awareness of makes an appearance as a scuttlebutt conversation,
Oh,
3 weeks down the road. It's
okay.
very fluid.
The education commissioner is leaving.
Not surprising. I mean,
Yeah.
this is year four of the governor's term. A lot of executive branch folks tend to leave before elections begin because they don't want to get rolled into election cycle. A lot of these folks are not lifetime government. Not surprising. This is historically the case. Many folks in the executive branch, particularly at secretariat level, aren't lifetime government, and they will leverage some of their experience and name recognition to a private sector job, or they move to another better government sector job, often in the federal government. But I think not a lot of Massachusetts secretariats are going to go to the federal government right now,
Right.
not in this administration.
No, it's true.
This is
Very
par for
true.
the, but this is par for the course.
Yeah.
We saw this with Mayor Wu's office. He had departures going in and after re-election, as people, 4 years after people after 4 years decide to sign for a career change.
Yeah, that's true. And there's still no transportation secretary, right?
Yeah, this is an acting situation, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. Transportation Secretary is still very important. Obviously, the name, the title gives it away, given the complexity of road system. And of course, we had some major storms, including heavier snow, actually everywhere, but more recently up in the north side of the state.
Yeah, Gloucester got a foot of snow. Yeah.
Yeah, the north side of the state, of which many of those roads are plowed. And people don't realize that once you leave major urban areas, MassDOT plows a lot of those small roadways that are these these single digit number roads that go through smaller communities.
Yep, that's right. And I mean, here in Quincy, Forest Brook Parkway, right?
Tourist Brook, quick
Yeah.
Quincy Drive. We do share jurisdiction with some of the local folks as well, because you have to get out of Marymount onto Furnish Brook. So I mean,
Right.
you can't screw it up as people trying to coordinate plowing back and forth, right?
Yeah, you can't s just stop and leave a big pile of snow. Yeah.
Oh, I'm confident Marymount folks are listening and goes, no, they do that. I mean, 100% confident now that Marymount people are telling me, no, they actually do that in my corner.
I'm probably true, yeah.
But it's a lot harder for people to realize to coordinate this stuff with state and local on state roads and local roads, because it's everybody's eventually going to have to crisscross local and state roads somehow, especially in a dense urban area.
Yeah, that's right. There's no avoiding it. Exactly. Yeah. So, and still a long way to go in winter.
Hey, I mean, we talked about last week, groundhog saw a
Yeah.
shadow.
That
But
little bugger.
yeah, so it's going to continue. And energy prices sadly are going to be very tough on folks because consumption is very high. We've talked about this multiple times. And gas prices have leveled out between 257, 258, and like 6, 265, 270 zone, depending
Yeah.
on what gas station we're talking about. Sometimes 285 in the high rent area. I've seen $4 plus in Boston.
Wow.
Your home heating oil and your natural gas is not the same as the gasoline in your car. It's different aspects of a barrel of oil. Or in the case of natural gas, a lot of it comes from a shale fracking, which is not, again, it's nasty, but it helps supply problem with energy. Hopefully it'll warm up today. It's supposed to crack 40 degrees.
I know.
It's the 11th of February, Wednesday. It's supposed to crack 40 degrees. It's going to feel like it's 80.
We'll all be out in shorts and t-shirts.
Again, I can't get over the fact that you weatherize for 5 degrees and then you come into like 4 degree weather and you're sweating. It's
Yeah.
the people do adapt. And I was at a Ukrainian New Year on Granite Links on Saturday night for a little bit, talked to some Ukraine local Ukrainian leaders, watched some videos about what's going on in the war effort in Ukraine. And a lot of the fundraising there is getting medical supplies, automobile parts. Food, medicine, non-perishables, into Ukraine, where there's still, very high need of local basic needs. And watching the war, I mean, the Russians are hitting their entire energy infrastructure, and it's cold. It's very cold over there. So
Yes.
people are freezing. Children are freezing as the Russians continue to bombard their major cities and villages. To basically just trying to freeze people to death at this point. They've been doing it every winter. So, but I mean, I came out of that at Granite Links. It was like 10 degrees and dropping, and it was snowing. And the wind blew up at Granite Links, and it just went straight through your clothing. I mean, you chilled to the bone.
Oh yeah, when it's that cold, there's very little you can do to keep yourself warm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was eager to get home and just be cautious of black ice because, folks, I mean, there's only so much the city and the state can do. They'll sand and salt everything, but if it gets cold enough, by the time it starts to melt, it may freeze over again.
Look at, I mean, Hingham Bay is frozen. They have to cancel the ferry service because of it.
And you saw skaters in Wollaston Beach, which I do
Yes,
not
that's right. I
recommend.
saw that.
Do
Yes.
not recommend skating on salt water in particular.
No, no.
But it also moves to the tide. Ice moves to the tide. So when the tide is low, people are aware, particularly the boating communities, that Quinsey Bay is very shallow during low tide.
Yep.
You can actually walk in the mud flats probably a quarter mile in your waders during a low tide period. So, when it hits, now it's closing 4 degrees, the water temperature, and particularly since salt, is kind of a funky thing where salt water will actually bring down water temperature, but at a certain depth, it'll stay warm and then the science of water gets kind of funky. So, again, stay off ice and water bodies, folks. You just can't predict what's happening underneath
Yeah,
you.
there's a free ice skating rink in Quincy Center. Go use that since it'll be up there through February school vacation week, and it's free. They have skates for you. Have a ball, and the
And the ice is smooth.
ice is smooth. That's right. They have a machine that keeps it nice and tidy.
Yeah, I don't know why you want to skate in a situation where you got jagged edges.
No, that's just asking for trouble for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We should talk a little bit about the economy that we like to do on this podcast, Tacky. Some new numbers out to talk about.
Yeah, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released today's unemployment. It was a much, much, much better than expected. It was like about 155, I think, new jobs creations, about 100,000-ish more than the estimate.
Yep.
Unemployment rate on the national level, hit 4.3%, which is I think down from 4.4, but. And there were some really interesting numbers in conflict. Last week, the ADP, which is payroll company, again, doesn't serve everybody. It's a sampling, showed that there was decline in payroll. And then the JOLTS report about jobs openings is showing also a decline of job openings as well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag going on here. And then you have poor December retail sales. Christmas was not good.
I read that. Yes, yeah.
And returns was high.
It's
So
so bizarre what's going on, yeah.
people discovering you can't afford stuff and they're returning stuff in January. And then the credit card debt is spiked again. So Americans collectively have $1.28 trillion in credit card debt.
Yeah, wow.
And that's a frightening number. And the surveys from the Federal Reserve in New York is showing that more and more people, particularly on the other end of the K-shaped economy, are putting more on credit cards of essential needs. So, not just food and clothing and stuff, but you're putting on like energy and your phone and other stuff onto credit cards because you just don't have cash, treating as short-term credit, but your credit, it's 20% plus
Right.
interest rate still.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a big red flag right there. Yeah.
It is. It's hit $1 trillion a few times the last 2 years, but it's actually 5% higher than last year. So it's $1.28 trillion in total credit card debt of Americans. And the largest burden of that is the lower end of the socioeconomic. It's middle class and dropping into the lower classes of the economy. The wealthier side has been able to pay their bills on time, which is not surprising. So, it's again, the economy is still very bizarre because the retail sales are strong, but Christmas is bad. Returning gifts and products is very high in January. Energy is up, particularly on home heating in the Northeast and any northern state that's really cold. And then you got obviously the weather pattern's been really bizarre going down to places as far south as North Carolina and Florida.
Yeah.
As you saw, the iguanas are falling out of trees in parts of Florida.
I saw that. Yeah, some of the fountains at Disney were frozen. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they're going to consume more energy because they got to, warm their homes.
Right, which are not built to withstand that kind of cold either.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of moving parts here regarding, individual folks, the vast majority of Americans that are trying to make ends meet. And, we'll wait and see what the CPI is on Friday. And particularly is interested in wage growth. Is wage growth beating inflation or not? It needs to beat inflation just a little. It's got to beat inflation more substantively on the macro data. You and me on the personal level, you're probably not seeing your salary beating because you're not a tech billionaire or something like that, right? So, when you look at your salary adjustments, perhaps annually from your employer, maybe not annually from employer. I can't speak for every person. But it's going to skew the data sets going to definitely skew towards the higher income levels versus low income levels that are not seeing wage increases that match or beat inflation.
And savings rates have been coming down recently, even though the Fed did not cut rates. They held steady the last meeting.
Yeah, what happens is that the bond market, as well as banks and the stock market, is trying to anticipate the future. So they're kind of future projections. So banks, bond markets, the stock market are trying to become future predictors, and they anticipate anticipating that the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates. And financial institutions make some money on your interest rates because they loan money, they use your money to borrow your money to make those loans, and then you get a piece of the interest. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be able to do with the money again. But the your bank interest rate may not reflect the mortgage loans. And you got to ask yourself, why am I not getting a bigger cut of the action, so to speak? But also the short-term interest rates are the interest rates they borrow from the Federal Reserve Bank. So as I always like to say, it's like Beverly Hillbillies. I dating myself where Jed wants to see his pile of money in the bank, but they don't have that pile of money in the bank. It's all electronic transfers even back
Right.
then. And then the banks borrow money from the Federal Reserve back and forth on these short-term interest rates to be able to make sure you have a steady supply of money.
So shop around is the word, is the lesson, right?
Yeah, even though interest rates are dropping, they're still higher day one are than the pandemic when interest rates were 0%.
That's
But
true.
even before the pandemic, in the great financial crisis back in 08, 9, 10, the interest rates had dropped very low then too. And those interest rates, CDs at your banks have never really come back to pre 08 2008 levels. and as the bank's making deliberate decisions that they can get away with it because your deposits aren't moving. When deposits start to move around and leave a financial institution, they have to kind of rethink what's going on here.
Yeah, exactly. It's just barely beating inflation right now.
Barely, yeah. It's ranging. I think you've seen some high interest rate promotions online, like 3.5%, give or take some decimal points. I think this competition, even though we're not looking at 4.7 anymore, I think there'll be a lot of competition still with both online and brick and mortar institutions to try to move your deposits in there. And it'll be offering bonuses of different sorts. Again, you need to decide, what makes sense for you, and always read the fine print because some of these bonus requires you to put your direct deposit from your paycheck in there to qualify for these bonuses. So, definitely read the fine print. You guys can make your own decision and maximize your interests. Massachusetts, again, for Massachusetts Bank specifically, gives you $100 deduction on interest. That includes CD interest, if I remember correctly. As an individual filer, joint filers get $200 deduction on interest.
How's the unemployment in Massachusetts holding out? I know there's still been backlog of cases.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual data number is. I've not looked at it yet. I mean, it was floating about 0.5% higher than the Federal Reserve. I'm sorry, the federal unemployment. A lot of factors. We can talk about it all day, like we've done many broadcasts about the impacts of the Fed and things like that. But unemployment numbers are still coming in hot. I think I've got three come in one day on Monday, and come in yesterday evening. Obviously, folks tend to email us after work hours on their unemployment issues and continuation of backlog because a lot of folks are still having problems either accessing the system or getting a response because of verification time. And verification is not just information provided to Department of Unemployment Assistance, DUA, but also getting responses back from your employer regarding qualification for unemployment or whether or not your employer will challenge your application for unemployment. So it's not strictly you as an applicant, but also is regarding your employer as well. And of course, the verification is done by human at DUA. And when the cases reach a high peak, it's very challenging. And as you guys can imagine, not everybody wants to work for government because we don't pay as well. And taxpayers hate to hear that, but it's true. If the government, your tax dollars is not paying a good enough salary, you're not going to get employees to work for the state.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If the private sector is beating out the public sector, then where do you think people are going to
Yeah. And again, taxpayers always don't like to spend taxpayer money until you don't get your services and you realize we don't pay enough.
go? We've talked about this before, but maybe we should talk about it again just because the state auditor is now going to the Supreme Court to try and audit the legislature, Jackie. So I thought it'd be appropriate to have the legislature respond.
Yeah, well, since this is a pending lawsuit, I can't really respond to anything. That's kind of part of the problem. Obviously, you reiterate the position of separation of powers of the Constitution, Civics 101. The legislature legislates, the executive branch executes what the legislature branch says. And the lines shall not cross unless you're invited to come over. So, again, I used the example of the House and Senate chambers during COVID. The governor had a state of emergency. But he couldn't instruct, he can't mandate or deny the legislative and branch from meeting in sessions, even though it was very bizarre. And we had to do virtual and we had to get new equipment and technology and all that stuff. The state of emergency couldn't stop forming a quorum in both the House and Senate chambers. However, because of the nature of COVID, the safety issue was more paramount in trying to accomplish that. So, there's a very simple example of how the law gives the governor enormous ability, if you look at the statute, to do whatever he wants in a state of emergency. It's silent on whether he can close the legislative branch, but the legislative branch, is outside the boundaries of the emergency law, which is super duper broad. But again, this is not that case. This is something that's much more specific. I still believe in separation of powers of government. And one of the things that we still don't understand is what are you looking for? If you're looking for our financial audits, they're online actually right now on masslegislative.gov. We have, I believe, 5 or 6 years up. There is not very exciting to look at financial audits, to be honest with you, because our budgets aren't that big. We hire outside consultants to do that. It is done out there. It's not done by internal audits, it's outside consultants that do that. And We passed something in our rules last cycle, continued this cycle. The auditor can pick our auditor as an independent auditor outside of her office or our office. We have some third party she can pick, and the House will pay for if she wants to do that. And the Senate has a special committee set up, in discussions with the auditor about what are you looking for. And I think that's been kind of lost in the press because she can't explain what she's looking for, because that question being asked has never been answered.
That's what
So,
the Attorney General's office is arguing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the press have asked her multiple times, but frankly, they never put the screws on her. I've never seen the media just kind of fluff off quite an obvious question that should give you an obvious answer.
So, well, I actually had a sit down talk with her and asked her that same question. And she said specifically, she's looking for state contracts.
That's lovely, but she's the state auditor. Auditors mean financial reviews and best practices regarding user money. So what state contracts are we talking about?
She didn't specify.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. When you ask regular people in the street what's an audit, people will tell you that it's a financial audit. This is a bit of a problem we're having some of the media folks regarding the representation, because frankly, you make more money if you're beating the crap out of us. It increases subscription levels. No one's going to admit to it, but it's true.
Interesting.
That's how it works, right? You get more clicks if you're kicking the crap out of politicians.
Yeah, but
Some people make plenty of money off of us. You know who they are.
but the auditor's office isn't selling anything. They're not, they're not having product available.
That's correct. And she herself has her own audit requirements that the legislature instructed her, through law, to direct the executive branch office, which is her, to execute what we want in a law regarding her audit of other executive branch offices, because we're the ones that made that directive. The voters voted to change the law on that front, which I get, but it's one thing to have the legislature instruct the executive branch. It's another thing when the executive branch to instruct the legislative branch. It's not the same thing. Again, separation of powers. It's like, we could instruct the Supreme Judicial Court to do certain things, but can we? Right? I mean, the independent judiciary is very important. To be outside of politics. And the founding fathers, John Adams decided that they should be appointed lifetime, age 70 age limit, because we can do that by statute, but we can't. We have actually no influence, because it has a governor's council review and other review processes on the way through the governor's council, which is actually outside the legislative approval, unlike Congress, which the U.S. Senate actually has direct say in the matter. But don't forget, the U.S. Senate was not always elected. U.S. Senate was appointed by the local governments at one time before they became elected, I believe in 1919. I think it was the constitutional change that allowed them to become elected. They used to be appointed by states. That might be the date. I could be wrong. I get my dates wrong all the time. But I mean, even that provision of legislative branch involved in secretariat and judicial appointments was a time period before you had elected U.S. senators.
It sets up an interesting scenario where the Attorney General's office may be defending the executive branch.
A good question, because that is the purview of the executive branch in the AG's office. She also can hire special counsel,
right?
Just to take her own office out of it. The AG's office could budget an individual to not be engaged, a part of the AG's office. And the reason I know this is because I worked in the AG's office in Office of Area Pet Advocacy, which in the old days was called Utilities. So one of the unique things in the law is that that if the utility company disagrees with the DPU, Department of Public Utilities, they can actually sue directly to the Supreme Judicial Court. And since that agency is a ratepayer paid agency, not taxpayer, it comes out of your rates, it's actually segregated from the AG's office in that sense. And then the AG would have to hire special counsel to rep. I'm sorry, I got this all wrong. Let me back up. That was incorrect. The AG can sue the DPU.
Okay.
But it's only the Office of Ratepayer Advocacy. So the Office of Ratepayer Advocacy, the Utilities Division, does not like the DPU ruling regarding, them litigating with a utility company.
Yep.
That division can choose to go to the Supreme Judicial Court, and now you're suing the state from a state agency.
Yeah, right.
But It's not paid by state tax dollars. The agency is paid by your rates. It's coming out of your electric and gas bills. It is not taxpayer paid, which is the rest of the AG's office is taxpayer paid.
Yeah.
Big, big issue here. This is a big differential. So as a result, we sue the DPU, the AG defends the DPU, but the AG actually has to hire special counsel segregated from the rest of the office. Like that
Okay.
person is a complete siloed, paid by your tax dollars to defend the DPU against the office, AG office repair advocacy to overturn a decision by DPU. Actually, I
Okay.
was there, we're observing one occur when I worked there. And it's actually quite fascinating. But there's a, like I said, there's a major difference because of the mission of the division and how the division is paid is separated out from taxpayer dollars. That is actually
Yeah.
a very important differential.
Yeah, I see that. I see. Although most ratepayers are also taxpayers.
They are, but the source of money is very important
Yeah.
because of the conflicts of interest issue. Because we don't that division does not represent taxpayers. The AG does.
Yeah, I understand.
But it's specifically a ratepayer protection issue. So let's say a DP rules for a very high rate. I'm going to just make a random case up. And the AG's folks feel that that is too high and the process was flawed for whatever reason. I mean, again, I'm making something up. They could sue the DPU challenging that ruling and then, ask to bring the rate down. Or let's say there's a procedural problem. The DPU made a procedure issue that the AG's office considered an error that resulted in a ruling that was. That adversely affects you as a gas or electric customer. That's different from a taxpayer issue.
Yeah, oh no, I understand. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So there is one instance where the state sues itself. That is the instance. I know you know this because I was there when it happened because I worked there.
Yeah.
So I have kind of this
No,
unique, very knowledge set of experience that frankly, I don't think anybody else knows about.
that's the first I've heard. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this like a year ago, a couple of
Okay.
years ago. So we're doing a little refresher.
Okay.
So, and you can tell even my memory gets a little bit soggy as I'm trying to remember the sequence of how this works.
Yeah.
So when we did like a windmill bill, I think it was back in like 2016, I think, or is it 17? Trying to remember when when was 15? I'm trying to remember what year it was.
So
One
at
of
least
the
10 years ago then. Yeah, okay.
one of the things that came up was double ruling. So when the DPU issues one set of rulings. It doesn't review its rulings again. It's fine. It's a final order. And then, there was an administrative law issue, and I'm staring at this thing because we had this amendment problem that came down from DPU. They sent a document. I'm reading this and trying to figure out what's going on. It dawned on me that the DPU can't rule again on an order that's been ruled. You can't. Once you have a ruling, you can't rule on a ruling that you already ruled on.
That's finite. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
okay.
So you can't do like a ruling on its own, your own ruling. Which is
Gotcha.
what an amendment was trying to do. So,
Because you are the deciding authority. Yeah, okay.
yeah, you can't decide again on something you decided. So,
Yeah.
I actually remember having to like explain this to the chair of Telecommunications and Energy and the minority, like, okay, this is what's really going on here. But
Sure.
again, the legislature is representative of unique experience of individuals from all over the walks of life in the state.
Great. Yep.
That's an example of someone that would not have that knowledge base unless you have the rec practical experience in this area of administrative law.
Yeah.
So no one else could figure it out, but only because I was there, I could figure it out. So,
Yeah.
that's why I tell folks when you talk about the legislature, you want a diversity of not just, gender and ethnic groups. You want the diversity of real life experiences.
Yeah. Well, that way they all ask different questions, and the more different questions that are asked, the more answers you get.
And you have greater contributions of ideas because
Right.
people have different walks of life and different experiences. And I think that's something I think people need to understand is that you want greater life experiences, regardless of age, where you come from, what professions, what your hobbies are, what you're doing in your family. I mean, those things are major contributors regarding public policy.
Does the legislature, they have, there is a post audit and oversight committee, right? There is actually a committee that oversees the audits. Is it oversight?
Well, you actually have a lot of legislative branches around the country that has some type of oversight slash post audit committee. And in the case of this legislature here, we actually give them subpoena powers.
Oh.
So they can subpoena the executive branch to create some accountability. We've never seen a subpoena power used. But we also run oversight hearings. So, for example, when we found out that the Division of Professional Licensure, which is now the vision of occupational licensure, Department of Occupational Licensure, they had a name change. You know, weren't doing the sex offender registry checks on licensees. You know, my committee spent 6 weeks organizing an oversight hearing with then my co-chair Paul Feeney from the Senate, and we did, you know, basically 4 hours of oversight hearing regarding how come they had a failure in the system. And you know, we also made sure that all the committee members had a role of participation because, you know, of the nature of the questioning. So I remember that I assigned my vice chair at the time, Jay Livingston, to open the line of questioning because he actually had litigation experience. I don't have courtroom experience, have administrative law litigation experience. So, you know, it was actually a good way to open up that oversight, which then opened up the other members, which we helped prepare questions for different members on, you know, how this was going to go. And some people didn't respond to our request. I can't summon you, I can't subpoena you, but
I
I
see.
can request. So we obviously had empty spaces at the table for folks that did not respond to our requests. So, you know, one of the things that we can do as a committee is what we do is oversight hearings, but we don't have subpoena power. This isn't Congress. Congress has basically subpoena powers.
You can be forced to testify before the committee, right?
Correct. They're held in perjury.
Right.
And the Department of Justice is in charge of executing the of arrest warrant for perjury against somebody classified in Congress. The post audit committees, both in the House and Senate, has that capacity if they should do so. But the rest of us do not. It's by
I see.
invitation and see if you show up. All I can do is make an empty seat and see if the press catches on that something's wrong here and get some attention. If the press thinks it's irrelevant, then there's nothing you can do about it anyway.
Okay. I see. Interesting. Yeah. So there is a system of checks and balances.
There is. When we, you know, like I said, that was rather extreme case where, you know, the sex offender registry reviews was not being done as part of the applicants of the Department of Professional Licensure. And thankfully, there was no major incidents of a violent sex offender getting a license. There was a handful of instances, and one was actually caught and removed from having a license, or applicant was thrown out for other reasons that turned out to be a more dangerous individual. So we got lucky on that one. The administration failed, but got lucky that no one was hurt. And some folks that, you know, should not have ever got a license failed for other reasons. So we were fortunate. Boston Globe had major coverage of this issue. So I'm trying to remember when we did this. No, it was 2019 because we had the oversight hearing in 2020 because I remember it was on vacation when the story broke. Yeah, it became 3 days of working on
On vacation,
vacation.
yeah. Well, that's the nature of the business, Taggy.
It's the nature of the business. So yeah, so you guys think you go away. It's again, I'd like to get as far away as possible now. But you know, in the
There's no
21st
escaping it
century,
now,
you
that's for
can get a
sure.
hold of people. That's actually right. So yes, we do work on vacation when, you know, some fire breaks out and we gotta, you know, do a plan and address it right away. So yeah, it was 2019 that year. I remember it was during Christmas time. We got a notice that, you know, the Globe was putting out a story and it broke. And then we had to get our oversight hearings ready. And I think we started early February.
Hey, we're at the end of the hour here, but Lunar New Year, this is the 38th annual in Quincy, and it's also the 25th anniversary of Quarry this year.
It is. It was incorporated November 2001. Right at dot-com bust coming up, and obviously after the tragedy of 9/11.
That's right.
And actually, my brother got married that year too.
Oh
So,
my goodness. Well.
25th anniversary is coming up. So, you got a lot of different things going on in 2001. And the Lunar New Year will be the 22nd. So, it's actually a week after President's Day weekend at Norfolk High School. I would not be attending, I will be on vacation next week. My vacation opportunities due not just work reason but personal life reasons has been not as opportune as I would like. So I gotta take the time when I can. But it's year of the horse. You can look online about prediction of year of horse. If you're born this year and your birthday is after this, well, actually you have to look at the lunar calendar at the year we're born because the lunar calendar follows the phases of the moon. So, the year of the horse based on a lunar calendar of the year born. So, It's every 12 years. So you got to go back in time, folks, to look at that original lunar calendar, which you can Google online, thanks to the
Yes,
internet.
you can.
You can find all the stuff on your own, and
Yes.
you can look at the predictions about the future, and you can take it with a grain of salt, or you can have a little fun with it and think it's a little more real. But it's going to be the fire horse this year. The Chinese elements of fire, water, air, wood, and metal. Those are the
Interesting.
five elements. So this is the year of the fire horse. So if you like your Pokemon, it's a Ponyta. Well, actually, it's a Rapidash. The Rapidash, if you like your Pokemon.
Okay. February 22nd, it's a Sunday, 11 a.m. at North Quincy High School.
Yeah, definitely encourage people to go, and hopefully, it'll not be a major storm.
March 1st is the snow date, but it hopefully won't be needed.
Yeah, hopefully not. So, but yeah, no, this is going to be our last show together for a week. Like I said, I'll be gone for some time next week to get a break in. And then, we're going to expect a very busy legislative session going into March. In my world, obviously, some bills have come out of committee. I'm trying to advocate to see which bills can get out of the next stage, whether it be Ways and Means of third reading. So we got, I got to do prep going on. And obviously, we're preparing for a re-election cycle. Got to do all the stuff, collecting signatures, and the dreaded fundraising cycle, right? The thing we all dread is raising money for our campaign accounts in preparation of what may or may not come. So we shall see. And the field for other openings around the state is uncertain. So I want to say congratulations on the retirement of our good friend Bill Galvin, the representative, not the Secretary of State from Canton. And as well as Carmine Gentile, who is the representative from Wayland, who just announced he is not running for re-election yesterday. So, it's that time of year where people are making life decisions about where they want to stay or it's time to move on.
Yep, absolutely. It's going to be an active year for sure. Here's where we let folks know how to get a hold of you, Jackie.
I'm in room 42, folks. You can see where I am now.
Just bang on the door.
Yeah, you're used to seeing my living dining room or the office. It's one or the other. And
That's right.
perhaps I'll get a business trip at some point. I like to be able to do those with you at some stage.
Yeah,
So
that'd be fun.
see what a work trip looks like. We keep talking about it. I gotta find one to go to. 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370. Very much encourage folks to give us a phone call if you got a concern such as unemployment, you have a problem with RMV, or you have a problem with mass health. Definitely call us. If the person in front desk doesn't pick up, just wait for the automated system and just hit anybody. We'll get the voicemail somehow, and we'll try to address your concerns. Tacky.chan at mahouse.gov, Tacky at .chan at mahouse.gov. I do read your different issues on policy matters. We do log in into our constituent database system. I'm very conscious of who's for and against. And guess what, folks? There are people next door to you that are against you too. It's not as simple as you're the only idea. So obviously, we are respectful of everyone's different opinions and conflicts between your neighbors on certain policy matters. State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook, which corresponding Instagram, we are constantly trying to keep that updated. We do not use Twitter or slash X anymore, so feel free to no longer follow me there. MBLegislature.gov, talked about earlier. A lot of information up there that's available. You have requests or needs to try to find stuff, obviously very helpful, but you also can just Google it, believe it or not. And since it's on the internet, it will just give you a site from any search engine you like to use on the internet directly to what you're looking for. We have tackychan.org. People do use that contact page to find some local phone numbers or search service agencies that you can use without actually having to contact us. And of course, here we are with you on a weekly or by every week or 2 weeks, depending on the situation. And at qatv.org, Can't say QATV twice, but QATV at QATV.org, email Joe. And of course, check with Joe every morning for his 10-minute drill. Or actually, no, I just stole it from Channel 5. But his 10-minute morning AM to let you know what's going on in the world.
Thank you so much. And to you and your family, your colleagues, very happy New Year.
Thank you very much. And also, please enjoy President's Day weekend and enjoy school vacation weekend, everyone.